Today on Locked On Canadians, who on this team would we consider untouchable? Plus, we have our three up and three down, and that's coming up in just one moment.
Your Locked On Canadiens, your daily podcast on the Montreal Canadiens. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to episode 509 of your first listen of the day. It is Locked On Canadiens. My name is Laura Saba, also known as The Active Stick. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined, as always, by Scott Matla of Habs Eyes on the Prize. Scott, how are you doing as we record this early on the Sunday with the 100% expectation that the Canadiens will have some big news to drop and we're going to have to do the show all over again at night?
All things considered, it could be worse. I could be Jake Allen, who unfortunately put money on the board against his old team, and then no one on the Canadiens decided to help him at all whatsoever. Someone in the Eyes on the Prize Slack mentioned, it's like, it must be really embarrassing to have a goaltender putting a significant amount of money on the board and then at the end of the game going back and just taking it down and putting it back in his wallet after you got embarrassed again. But all things considered, it's all part of this very slow process. But also, like you, I'm expecting news the minute that we finish recording and editing this show to drop, because that's how this seems to work all the time.
Yeah, that's how the Canadians like to do things. But in the meantime, real quick, the giveaway contest that we had is closed. We will be announcing the winners on tomorrow's show for the sole reason that I wanted to make sure I had all my ducks in a row. I'll probably do that tonight. I'm going to put everyone's names into an impartial drawing thingy. And so we will announce on episode 510 who the winners are. There'll be three winners, one for our Twitter giveaway for stickers, one for the t-shirt giveaway from 514 Shirts, and one for a mask or a scrunchie from Shayna Golden's Etsy store. We'll obviously contact you and ask you what your choice is for the shirt and for the mask or scrunchie. In the meantime, we have some things to discuss. Since the last podcast episode, we found out a little bit more about Tyler Toffoli's injury, and he's going to be out for 8 weeks. And that was a little bit more than we initially thought. We said about 6 weeks. It's really, really unfortunate, I think, because I feel like Tyler Toffoli has been one of those players this year that's been really frustrated by his lack of ability to change games for the Habs in a way that he and Josh Anderson were able to do last season. Obviously, we've talked a lot about how many injuries the Canadians have had. It is an astronomical amount. They are dealing with a lot of adversity, but at the same time, what we want to talk about today is that injuries are not an excuse for not having a strong system or style of play on the ice.
And the thing about this is that, yeah, the team, it has $52 million sitting on injured reserve or on the injured or COVID reserve or whatever, not in the lineup right now. 70% of their allotted cap space is injured, which is damning for even the best of coach. Scotty Bowman himself could not coach this team to win games at this point. But in the same vein, like you said, Laura, there's no excuse for not having a system. When the team was just missing Carey Price and Joel Edmondson, two admittedly big pieces of the team, but two that shouldn't be crippling to your season success, the team still looked like a mess. And at this point, it's only getting exacerbated every single week. And my thought is, when are you going to fix or try anything new? Like, we have Jake Evans playing on the wing, but Jake Evans is injured now. You still have Cedric Paquette in the lineup. You've had Matthew Perreault at center. You've done this. You've done this. Joel Armia was out for, 2 weeks? And then came back and immediately got a top six spot. Why are you not giving Caulfield that time? Do I think it would be a long-term solution? I'm not sure, but he sure as hell probably would have finished the chance that both Drouin and Armia missed in this game, that if either one of them scores, maybe it's a little bit different story. It feels like they're just unafraid of changing, or they're very afraid of changing things, because I don't get it. I said it on Twitter last night, is that you are coaching for your jobs right now, and you're not making changes to get through this season and find any kind of success. At what point do you go, maybe it's our fault that things are going the way that they are. It's not, it's ugly to watch. I still don't know what the system is. They played really well against Tampa, and then in the last two games, the wheels just fell off again. And I just want something to look at here to build on. And right now, Dominique Ducharme isn't doing much to save his job. I know they said he's safe till the end of the season, but when you lose games like this, you've scored 8 goals over your 6 losses and given up 19. You're one of the worst penalty killing, worst power play teams in the league. You surrender goals at a high rate. You don't score at a high rate. What reason do we have to keep you around here at this point?
Like, literally, that's it. And so I made this point on Twitter, and I'm going to repeat it because I know a lot of our listeners are not on Twitter. And if you are, you should be following us at @LO_Canadiens. But I do think that in the moment that he was asked, Jeff Gorton really did believe that he wanted to keep the coaching staff on for the rest of the season. But I wonder if he's re-examined his position and if he's going to leave it up to the next GM. Like, once the next GM comes in, and you know, we're talking like probably around Christmas, he said not by Christmas, but probably right after Christmas was what he said. I think that the new GM coming in might just be like, I can't deal with this. And, you know, they're going to have that conversation. It's going to be really interesting because it's such a huge decision to make right at the beginning of their working relationship. And we've had a lot of questions about how this power structure will work, how the responsibility structure will work. And I'm just really interested to see what happens when a new person comes in and goes, this is an untenable situation. It is one thing to lose games. It is one thing to aim for high draft picks, but to do it in such a way that you're, first of all, not showcasing the best of the players that you want to trade, and B, not putting the young players in situations that they're going to need to learn anyway. If your season is a wash, take risks. Put Jake Evans on, like, facing Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. I'm going to keep sitting on this. And the thing is, the problem is, I think, it's that the coaching staff does not seem to be willing to admit that they don't know what's wrong. I think that they just believe that the Canadians are not executing the system they want to. You know, from the beginning, Mark Bergevin himself also kept saying that the answer was in the room. There's no room right now. They're all on injured reserve. The answer cannot be in the room. Like, you need to find something, you know? And that's the thing is, like, if something's not working with players, you have to find a new way to motivate them. That's management 101. And it's not working. They need to do something. So our thesis right now is that, first of all, it absolutely sucks for Tyler Toffoli. Somebody, actually, like, a Leafs fan was like, hey, do you think Tyler Toffoli has a shot at making the Olympic team? And I was like, unfortunately, he's injured. But, you know, like, after last year, after that COVID shortened year, I feel like he made such a good case for himself. And now it sucks because he's going to be sidelined. And not only that, like, if he wanted out, he can't play to showcase his talent. You know, like, he's going to come back and it's going to be close to the trade deadline or almost after it. So I feel like it's such bad luck for him. I feel bad. But at the same time, that is not an excuse for the coaching staff. All these players being injured is not an excuse for the coaching staff. And they really need to come up with a system. They need to get the best out of the players they have on the ice, because those are the players of the future. And if they can't figure that out, then they're hampering the development. They're doing the same thing that the old regime was doing, the same thing that we had questions about. But we're going to turn our attention to what players we think are untouchable on this team, or what players we think should be untouchable on this team. And later on in this episode, we will have our weekly 3 Up and 3 Down segment. That's coming up in just one moment. But first, tell me if this sounds familiar. You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Thanks, as always, for making us your first listen of the day. And today on your first listen of the day, we're talking about the rebuild that the Canadians seem to sort of be unofficially sliding themselves into, locking themselves into. And so at this point, it would be the time, I think, when the general manager comes in, they would sit down with all the players and see, does anyone want out? Does anyone fit into the future vision of this team? Is anyone willing to lift their no move clause or anything like that? I was wondering, actually, like, which players on this team would you consider truly untouchable? Because in my mind, there's a lot of players that I'm attached to. Like I said, I didn't want them to trade Jake Allen because I'm attached to him. I think he's such a great presence on this team, and he's obviously a really good backup. I love listening to post games or any interviews with him because he's very thoughtful about what he says. I'm very, very attached to him, but he's got a lot of trade value and he should be behind a team that can actually score goals, I think. And at the same time, you know, there are players that I would consider completely untouchable at this point. One of them is Nick Suzuki. You know, that seems to me like a no-brainer. But I'm curious, Scott, who would you consider truly untouchable if you put your feelings aside?
I look at this team and my first thought is that Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, and Alexander Romanov are all untouchables on this team right now. And Nathan at Eyes on the Prize brought up a good point. He's like, if you can get a coach who can actually game plan a system, someone like Josh Anderson is someone that this team doesn't have another of, just kind of sitting around right now. With his speed and physicality, when he's utilized correctly, it's impossible to do, it's not impossible, but it's difficult to defend against a player like Josh Anderson. And I think guys like Petrie and Edmondson would also be considered untouchable unless like an absolutely stellar package comes along here. I don't think this season's Jeff Petrie is the full Jeff Petrie. I think he's hurt. I think he's just struggling with the rest of the team here. And it looks bad because he plays the most minutes. Outside of that, everyone on this team, I believe, is pretty much fair game here. Dvorak, you know, Jonathan Drouin, Tyler Toffoli. Even Brendan Gallagher, who I know would probably just not want to go anywhere. I wouldn't be shocked that if the new GM came in and asked if he wanted to move out. We talked about it a little bit in one of our episodes last week, but there's always going to be suitors for a guy like Brendan Gallagher. But I do think it's mostly the young guys and a couple of the veterans that they don't have a ready-made replacement. They don't have a first pairing defenseman in the mold of Jeff Petrie to replace him if they trade him. They don't have someone who can play on his left-hand side there in second, you know, minute pairing minutes, first pairing minutes, depending on the situation, like Joel Edmondson does. Ben Sherratt, I know, is playing a ton of minutes right now, but I do think he's going to be usurped by Caden Gooley in the near future. And I think with the new GM in place, guys like David Savard and Chris Weidman, Sammy Niku, whenever they get back, are going to slowly be replaced by the Jordan Harrises, the Jaden Strubels, the Matthias Norlanders in the near future. So they might not move in this season, but this offseason, I think there's going to be I don't want to call it a culling, but there's going to be a lot of turnover, I feel like, once the new regime gets in here. And you're not Suzuki, Caulfield, Romanov, and maybe Anderson and Carey Price. I think everyone has the possibility to be moved out.
I think this trade deadline is going to be an interesting one for the Canadians because it's going to be the first time in a while where they're openly selling, as opposed to, you know, usually Canadians fans get their hopes up and they think, all right, you know, Mark Bergevin is going to get somebody huge. It's going to push the Canadians over the edge. I think this time around, there's no illusions. So it really depends on what general managers come calling with. I think that, you know, we're not out of the stages yet where managers go absolutely off the wall on trade deadline day. I think there's a lot of people that the Canadians can offer up that GMs will absolutely overpay for. And the other time that I think is going to be really interesting and exciting is draft weekend, which is not technically a weekend. It's happening on Thursday and Friday this year. But that's going to be a really, really interesting couple of days because a lot of wheeling and dealing happens then in advance of the of free agency day. And I think it's going to be a lot of turnover, like Scott said. I'm going to be very sad. I think there are a lot of players on this team that I really, really like that I think that they should keep. But I also feel like they're going to have to take a step back and take stock of what they have, because they do have some good players on this team that if they kept them around, it wouldn't be a full rebuild. It would be a partial rebuild. And so I think the decision has to be made. Like, are we going to strip everything down to the bones and start over? Or are we going to move out a lot of people, but keep pieces like Tyler Toffoli or Josh Anderson, keep a guy like Joel Edmondson, and, you know, hope to contend in a couple of years? So I think that's a big decision that needs to be made. I do think that at the end of the day, like, they have the chance to be great. And so the choice will be made. Should we just try and be good enough for a few years, or should we really be bad but then be great for a while? And, you know, with even with all of their disappointments, I think I'd rather be Colorado, where you're always a threat. Like, people are always talking about how this is your year to win the Stanley Cup, than, you know, not make the playoffs 3, 4, 5 years in a row, or only make it because of COVID or all of that. So I'm kind of torn. I know personally, I think that they would not move Carey Price out, just because, like, before they have a new crop of stars to market this team around, they're not going to let Carey Price go. And before they have a new goaltender, obviously, to replace Carey Price's talent. I think that Nick Suzuki, for sure. I think Cole Caulfield, for sure. Interestingly enough, I don't think Romanov is untouchable in the team's minds, but I do think that they do want to use him as a key piece, as a key cornerstone to the future. I think when Caden Gooley makes the team, I think a lot of people are saying he's Shea Weber light, but I feel like he's not. But he's a little bit better than I think than Ben Chiarot is, in my mind.
Yeah, and to hammer on your point there, is that I think the Canadians need to set themselves up for long-term success, because doing this, like you said, getting in because of COVID, getting in because of weird fluky reasons is not good. Like, this team needs some kind of platform to build on. And that, yeah, this year's obviously terrible, and next year might suck a little bit, but that's fine if you're putting the building blocks in place. Look at the Rangers, who Jeff Gorton built most of that team before James Dolan and Chris Drury kind of came in and did their own thing. The core of that team is stuff that was acquired by Jeff Gorton in his time as Rangers GM. If it takes a season of pain and then some hot flashes and moving up, getting prospects in there, making some smart trades to fix the team here, I absolutely think that this is the right way to go, is that you suffer for a little bit and then it gets better. So keep your right pieces there. They kept Zibanejad. They kept Chris Kreider, whose name I curse to this day. They kept their young goalies. They did all the little right things and then just shedded off so much dead weight. And now look at them. They're one of the best teams in the Metro. It's a literal blueprint for the Canadians to follow. So I am I'm a big fan of actually doing that. Just, I think Gorton and the new GM just have to be smart about what they do. And some of that might be, what does the new coach bring? What style? And do some of these players still fit that system? Because if not, you find a team that has that, that wants that type of player, and you rob them blind. Simple as that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think the Canadians, I think we'll have a lot more optimistic conversations, to be honest, once we know who the new GM is, and once we figure out what they're going to do about the coaching, whether it's sitting them down and changing the way that they do things, or getting rid of them entirely. Like, this is like, I feel like sports is one of the weirdest things, because you can openly hope that somebody like doesn't have their job anymore. And it sounds very, very ghoulish, but I don't wish him the worst. I just think that he's not the right coach for the Canadians. I think that the coaching staff is not doing a good job with the Canadians. And, you know, I feel like there's a reason they got to where they got to. So maybe very much like Guy Boucher, like the NHL is just not the right place for them. Anyway, all of this to say is that there are very, very few people on this team that I would consider untouchable. But what is untouchable, except when we're celebrating something, I guess, or no, when there's a big story, is our Monday 3 Up, 3 Down segment. We moved it literally when they canned the front office, so we had a big story to talk about. So it's semi-untouchable, and that's coming up in just one moment. But first, the holiday season is tough. Literally just before recording, Scott and I were talking about just how much you need to do during the holiday season and just how exhausting it is. But you know what? If you want a little bit of energy, why not reach for a Built Bar? It is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It has so much protein in it. It's low in sugar. It's made with real chocolate. It's got delicious flavors. It is a fantastic way to keep your energy going, to get your energy back up, whether you're holiday shopping or just trying to get all the things you need to get done before the holidays. And they've got so many delicious flavors. And recently I saw something about an eggnog flavor. That's right. Built Bar does special edition flavors. And especially around the holidays, they'll do things that are related to the holidays. I've got a bunch of their special edition flavors that I have put in my freezer so that I can savor them. But if you want one of their 18 regular flavors, or if you want to try whatever the special flavor is right now, you can go to built.com and enter locked15 to get 15% off your order. That's built.com, enter locked15. BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. That's right. If you use our promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Full disclosure, I completely forgot it was Monday for whatever reason. I think it's because we're recording very early on the Sunday, and Scott had to remind me that we have our three up and three down segment to do today. So I think, shall we do three down first, Scott, and get that out of the way and then end on a higher note?
I mean, our three down, I'm pretty sure, is going to be the same as it's been like for what? So we've been doing this a month and a half, give or take, at this point. So... Let's do the down first, and then we'll end on a positive note, because we are, if nothing, but beacons of sunshine in this desolate hellscape of Canadians hockey.
All right. Who's your first three down?
Gee, I wonder who I'm just kidding. It's Dominique Ducharme, because the man cannot coach his way out of a paper bag currently. And just tying into that, the penalty kill and the power play aren't good. The entire coaching staff is at blame here, because there's nothing that is working out right now. It's the coaching staff's decision to, or it's their job to get this team ready to play every single night and have them put forth the best effort. And after last night's game against St. Louis, Ducharme came out when we were lacking energy right from the jump. And my thought is, well, whose fault is that then? You're the coach. They had a day off. You had time to prepare for this Blues team. What else do you want, Dom? You're the coach. You've got to figure this out at some point. So it's he's on my, like I said, he's on my down list until he proves me otherwise right now. And I feel bad continually dumping on the guy, but at the same time, he hasn't done anything to disprove my theory on this at all. So
yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you on this one. I just feel like even if a team is not good, even if your players are not good, which is not true. That's not the case with the Canadiens. Even if you have a lot of injuries, you've got young and hungry players. If you can't motivate the team this many games into the season, you know, one game where they all come out flat and unmotivated, that's the players. Two games, maybe. An entire season of unmotivation is the coaching staff's fault. I don't see any other way around it. There's literally like, who else can you blame? You can say like there's a lack of leadership in the room, but at this point, new leaders should develop, or you should fill the void as the coach, you know, either one. I cannot see a team being this unmotivated for 30 games in a row and like having no motivation, no ideas, nothing new just doing the same things over and over again. But the problem is, it's not just a lack of motivation. It's that they don't seem to know what they're doing. All these people did not suddenly forget to play hockey. Like, literally, they did not. So that was also my first down. My other down, and I don't know if it's just me, but David Savard. So a lot of people have been saying that he's not been great since he joined the team. Our friend Andrew Berkshire from the Crosscheck NHL show does not believe that. We will have him on to sort of explain to us why he's actually not that bad. His underlying numbers are not bad. But I feel like this, I don't know if it's just me, but this week he seemed to make some inopportune plays and have the puck end up in the net. I don't know what else to say. Like, he's like, it seems like stupid mistakes. And this week, for whatever reason, it just seemed very glaring to me.
That kind of ties into my downs as well. I have just defensive miscues, defensive thinking in my section here. Alexander Romanov had a really bad giveaway. Ben Sherratt had a bad giveaway. Cale Klig had a bad giveaway, and they all resulted in goals. And at a certain point in time, that does come down to coaching in the system, where if they don't know what they're doing, they panic. But I just, defensive miscues across the board. It's not a one person thing. Like, the entire defense itself is struggling. We see brief moments where they look great, and then the wheels all fall off there. So it's across the board, just miscues, so many miscues, so close to the net that all ended up in the back of the net. It's a recipe for disaster.
And who's your third down this week? I'm very, very curious.
I had the other coach. It just says special teams. Penalty kill sucks. Power play sucks. It's not working. They're among the last, or the worst teams in the NHL in both categories. And we are almost 30 games in and nothing has changed. All I want is Cole Caulfield to play across from Mike Hoffman on a power play. And instead I have Mike Hoffman and Joel Armia. I don't get it. So the coaching remains the constant down for me in all of this.
Yeah, it's really funny how, like, that it's constantly just, it boils down to insufficient, inadequate systems. It's not rocket science. It's really not. And so I think that, I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of people, whenever I say Miss Claude Julien, people are like, don't you dare. And I'm like, he lost the Bruin, but he still had a very strong system. Like, their 5-on-5 numbers were amazing, even when they weren't scoring goals. Like, I don't know. I feel like whoever the next Canadiens coach is going to be, like, they better have a strong grasp of systems. I think it's very, very important. Like, that, you know, that one-on-one matchup situation, or in situation coaching that Dominique Ducharme is famous for, is clearly not working. That works once you have a system established, and it does not. All right, who's your three up? I'm very, very curious, because I have one where I'm like, I'm not sure if we're on the same page.
So I have a distinctive Rocket theme to my ups this week. First is Brandon Gignac, who was signed to an AHL deal, started the season, I believe, playing with the Lions in the ECHL, got called up and has been playing with Danick Martel and Kevin Waugh, and has been phenomenal. He's scored a lot of big goals against Texas, against the Marlies. He was decent against the Amerks as well this week. It was a pretty good week to be Brandon Gignac, who's played with a lot of speed and pace and done a lot of really good things. I know it's not a high bar to be on the up list at this point in time, but he's been a pretty solid bright spot for the Rocket as they battle through their injuries.
So mine is a little bit, I guess, prospect theme. So we were talking earlier about how we're heading into the Team Canada cuts and finalizing the roster for the World Juniors. We talked about Jonathan Roth playing well, right? So I think that should be one of our ups, because it's
Joshua Roth.
Jonathan Roth is Patrick Roth's son, isn't it? The guy who was a goalie and then now is a musician.
Hold on. I will look that up, but keep talking.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was just like, it seems like we're not scraping the bottom of the barrel. What we're doing is we're looking in a different barrel.
Oh my God, he was. You weren't kidding.
Yeah. See, this is why in my head, because we've been talking about Patrick Roy for so long and so much for the last few weeks. And his son is literally like, he was a goaltender. I feel like there was something about like Roy encouraging his son to beat somebody up. when he was the general manager and coach of his son's team. And then, see, this is why we keep talking about how he shouldn't be the champ of the Montreal Canadiens. And then after a while, his son was like, I'm quitting hockey and I'm going to become a musician.
Well, yeah, that tracks. I mean, why would you want to live up to your dad's footsteps as a goalie? Like, oh, so
imagine, like, but yeah. And so my next one, this is the one where I was like, I was wondering if you would say the same thing. I think that Alexander Romanov has played really well in the last few weeks. He's made a couple mistakes that have resulted in the puck being in the back of the net, but in a way that seems very obvious to him. Like, you could see it on his face that he's sort of realizing and growing and learning from. I just find that he's been really good at throwing a check that's legal a lot, getting in people's faces and trying to be everywhere on the ice. I think he's definitely settling in a little bit less overexcitable than he used to be. And I think that, you know, people are always like, he's a big question mark. We didn't know what we were going to get. And some people are like, oh, he's not a good player. He's not going to amount to anything. And I think it depends on expectation. And for me, I feel like he's a good middle defenseman.
I think Romanov was on my up list, but I do have another prospect that I'm putting in there, and that's Matthias Norlander, who got his first North American goal the other night against Toronto. Toronto? No, hold on. I know this. I literally wrote this article too. Against the Manitoba Moose, sorry. And I think he looked fantastic. And against Rochester, he looked really, really good as well. He's drawing in people with his skating ability and freeing up teammates to make plays happen. He looks like a guy who's being put in a situation to succeed by his coaches. So I think the young defensemen are proving their worth. It's probably not great that these are all happening when they leave Dominique Ducharme's system. It's a pretty damning indictment of things, all things considered right now. So Matthias Norlander is on my up list, but Alexander Romanov did get a strong consideration from me.
I also think I'm going to give one of the ups to another prospect, and that's going to be Caden Gooley. There's a lot of buzz around him right now, and he's living up to it. I think our expectations need to be tempered, because we cannot say that he's going to be the next Shea Weber. That's an exaggeration. Just because he looks like him and he like kind of has a mannerism like him does not necessarily mean he's going to become him. But I think that he's literally doing his best to make his case heard. And he's going to be on, obviously, the World Junior team. He's going to make the Canadiens sooner rather than later. And I think he's still having a great season, even though, you know, initially I think he was hoping to make it further at this point. I think with that patience, he's going to be a much better player. And I'm excited about what he's going to bring to the team.
And my third up to finish off the Rocket flavored three up here, Lucas Vaidemo, who on Friday night, became the Laval Rockets' all-time leading goal scorer with two goals against the Amerks. He's quietly one of the most solid players who's been in a Rocket uniform. He's very good at what he does. He doesn't get the point totals or the high flashy goals, but he's always very good when called upon. He's been put as a first line center, a fourth line center. He's been penalty kill, power play. He's all over the place, and he usually rewards his coach pretty well with strong efforts every single night. So Lucas Vaidemo is my third up of the week.
And there you have it. That's our Monday three up, three down. A little bit Rocket themed, I guess. A little bit prospect themed, I would say. And we have these every Monday. In fact, next Monday is Scott's birthday. Be sure to bother him and wish him a happy birthday. You can find him on Twitter at Scott Matlett. You can find us on Twitter at @LO_Canadiens. You can always email us at lockedoncanadiens@gmail.com. Please subscribe or follow this podcast, or subscribe to or follow this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are 5 days a week. And if you liked us, check out Locked On Bets, because they have been absolutely killing it lately. It's definitely worth a listen before you place bets anywhere.